From NPR West and Slate Magazine Online, this is Day to Day. Hello again, I'm Alex Chadwick. And coming up on the program today, the life and death of a Connecticut soldier, an Iraq casualty, that in a few moments. First, the lead, the war and the speech. At Fort Bragg in North Carolina last night, President Bush spoke to several hundred soldiers and to a national TV audience of tens of millions. He said it is essential to remain in Iraq.
After September the 11th, 2001, I told the American people that the road ahead would be difficult and that we would prevail. Well, it has been difficult, and we are prevailing.
That's the president speaking last night at Fort Bragg. Fred Kaplan writes on military affairs for our partners at the online magazine Slate, and Fred joins us now. Fred, you wrote in the magazine last night right after the speech that it was both the best and worst of Mr. Bush's addresses on Iraq. Let's start with the best, anyway. What did you mean?
Well, by the best, I thought he made a very good case that we can't just pull out right away or even set a definite timetable, that Iraq really would plunge into chaos if the U.S. weren't there for a while longer, and that the price of chaos through the region and perhaps beyond would be a very high price to pay.
Let's get on to the worst, what you call the worst. You say that while the president acknowledges this, he doesn't offer any new ideas for how to solve or resolve what some people are calling a stalemate there.
Right. I mean, he seems to offer no acknowledgement that things are going badly, or at least not as well as everybody in his administration figured that they would. He calls for no change of course, no new plan for attracting international support, not even the vaguest notion of a criterion for success, much less an avenue to success. It was just sort of, let's continue on the same road and hope for the best, seemed to be the answer.
I'll just note that a Washington Post ABC News poll that was out yesterday says that a majority of Americans do seem to be willing to keep U.S. forces in Iraq for an extended time, long enough to stabilize the country, however long that will be. The president did talk about no timetable for withdrawal. We're going to hear a little clip of that speech. Here he is.
Setting an artificial timetable would send the wrong message to the Iraqis, who need to know that America will not leave before the job is done. It would send the wrong signal to our troops, who need to know that we are serious about completing the mission they are risking their lives to achieve. And it would send the wrong message to the enemy, who would know that all they have to do is wait us out.
Fred, I think you're saying you agree with Mr. Bush.
Yeah, I agree on those points. But, you know, there is a distinction between a timetable, which he opposes, and I think he is right to oppose, and benchmarks. You know, we've been in this war now for 2 years, a war that the Vice President and Secretary of Defense assured us wouldn't last more than weeks or months. And I think the American people deserve to have some benchmarks of success ahead. You know, by such and such a date, this should happen. Then after that, that will happen. He didn't define what success is.
How about the association with the war on terror, Fred? The president several times mentioned the war on terror and September 11th.
Well, to me, this was the most disturbing part of the speech and the one about which I have the most ambivalence. The passage from the speech that you started out with, where he says, I told you after 9/11 that the course ahead would be difficult. In one sense, this is so blatantly dishonest. I mean, it's now been definitively established that Iraq and Saddam Hussein had nothing to do with the attacks on 9/11. When he said the road ahead would be difficult, he wasn't talking about invading Iraq at the time. He was talking about dealing with a worldwide terrorist movement. It is the presence of U.S. troops and the occupation in Iraq that has lured jihadists to come and perfect their bomb-making skills against the American infidels. But, you know, if we just get up and leave, there is a serious chance that the place might become another Afghanistan, a place where terrorists feel free to roam and use the territory as a training camp. We can't allow that to happen, even though if it does happen, it will largely have been our own fault.
Opinion and analysis from Fred Kaplan. He writes on military affairs for our partners at the online magazine Slate. Fred, thank you.
Thank you.